Eric Rowan's The Payoff, Bayley turns heel, and WWE introduces Instant Replay. Your SmackDown Live and Raw review starts right after this. Hey, so you guys love podcasts. You're listening to one right now. I've got a really good one for you. It's actually hilarious. It's called Shoot from the Hip. There are three co-hosts. It's Matt, Lancer, and Brian. They talk about ridiculous things like why knees aren't just called leg knuckles, some conspiracy theories, dealing with embarrassment, back to school. There are so many different topics that really are just crazy, but are really entertaining. And actually, they have 5 stars right now on Apple Podcasts. So I would really recommend that you check them out. They're absurd but hilarious topics. And new episodes drop every single week at sfthpodcast.com. And you can kind of tell, this is going to be one of those shows that shoots quickly up the rankings. So get on board now. Check out Shoot from the Hip Podcast. You can find them seriously anywhere, right? Like, just go to iHeartRadio, Google Music, Stitcher, SoundCloud. They're also on all the social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and their website, which is sfthpodcast.com. And on Twitter, you can check them out at hipshotpodcast.com. Also on YouTube at Shoot from the Hip Podcast. So check them out today, guys. I really think that you'll enjoy the show and get a kick out of it. I listened to one of their shows just before this recording of my podcast, and I'm telling you right now, I was laughing out loud. Some of the stuff that they talk about is, it's so off the wall, but it's so well done and genuinely funny. So check out Shoot from the Hip Podcast. You'll be glad you did.
Welcome to the WWE Podcast. Your place for the most passionate wrestling analysis on the web.
Just turn Roman heel. What is WWE waiting for?
When other wrestling podcasts put you to sleep, you can count on the WWE Podcast to keep you engaged and asking for more.
I've been watching wrestling for over 20 years, and that was one of the best matches I've ever seen.
This is unlike any other wrestling analysis. So without any further delay, let's get the show started right now.
Welcome to the WWE Podcast. Thank you so much for joining me, guys, on this Thursday, September 5th, 2019. I am on vacation right now. I'm be heading home tomorrow. So if you've been wondering where I've been and where my shows have been, well, that's where I'm at. I'm on vacation, but I'm coming to you live from my room here, and I'm going to give you guys my Raw and SmackDown thoughts in just a couple of minutes. But first, I want to thank you guys for listening and giving my new hosts some great positive feedback for AEW and the NXT podcasts. Again, the AEW podcasts are going to be starting when the weekly shows start. So in about a month or so, you will have a weekly dose of the AEW podcast, and our weekly NXT podcasts are starting now. So definitely tune in for that. I'm really excited to have both on board. And it's great to be able to give you guys not just the main product, but also a different promotion and the, quote, third brand of WWE. So, and as the Wednesday Night Wars begin to descend upon us, it's going to be great to have both on board and a new voice, new voices other than just me. And I think that's a good thing. So, guys, thank you so much for the positive feedback. I know that they appreciate it, and you can catch them every week here on the WWE Podcast. Again, you'll be hearing the AEW one starting in October, because that's when the weekly show starts. So, again, thank you so much for listening, and welcome to the show. I'll be reviewing Raw and SmackDown Live, which I really thought were... I enjoyed them, not without its flaws. I think overall, Monday Night Raw seems to have the leg up right now. And maybe that's due to Eric Bischoff sitting in the wings and really catching up on the product, understanding his role, I think, a little bit more, reacclimating himself to WWE after being away for so long. And Paul Heyman has been there through the trenches over the last 8 years or so. And so I think he has a bit more of an advantage because he's been here. He knows the gig. He just kind of slides into the role and understands the product, which is why I think we're seeing a bit more of a instant change on Raw, or gradual change, I should say, rather than SmackDown Live, which so far has kind of held steady and it's business as usual. And I think it will continue to be business as usual for the foreseeable future until Bischoff gets himself really reacclimated to the product. And, you know, I think that's a good thing. I think that's a really good thing because I think Bischoff needs that time. And most importantly, I think as fans, we need to give him a little bit of time and we need to be patient with how long we're expecting to see the change on SmackDown Live. It's going to take some time. So one thing I did want to start off with, and it's probably the biggest news story coming out of WWE this week, is Bayley turning heel. I am just so happy that they've finally done this. A character that has fallen flat for a long time now, I think is much better off as a heel. And you know what? I think a lot of it has to be put on WWE's shoulders in terms of her overall failure as a babyface success from translating to NXT to the main roster, where she was beloved in NXT and had this magical underdog, shy girl presence to her, to this overconfident, annoying side ponytail, scared to be here, bad translation to the main roster, and then we all know the disaster that was the Sasha Banks Bayley storyline when it was the love you, hate you for a year and a half. And that did a lot of damage too. So I'm fine with their heel turn. I have been clamoring for it. I've loved it. And I'm going to get a little deeper into it as we go along here. But one thing I will say is just like Sami Zayn and his heel turn, just like Sasha Banks and her heel turn, and now we have Bayley joining the group here, I think it's incumbent upon WWE, in order to make this as successful as possible, to really go all in here. And what I mean by that is change the music, change her look. I would love to see Bayley in kind of an edgy, dark makeup, leather jacket, coming out there, maybe frizzy hair, changing her music, stop with the Bayley buddy crap, and just come out there and be a heel that I know she can be. I like how the crowd is also not turning her into a cool baby face or a cool heel, which essentially turns her face, i.e. the Becky Lynch turn at SummerSlam in 2018. This is a true turn for her. I mean, I've been clamoring for this for over a year. It is a very solid decision. And some of you who have battled me on Twitter and have said, oh, listen to the reaction Bayley's getting. Why would they ever turn her heel? Well, here's your answer. And clearly WWE is in feeling the same thing that I do, and many other people, clearly, that Bayley has run its course in terms of the babyface character. I like her explanation on SmackDown Live was good, that she didn't completely overnight change her persona. I think that if this is a gradual explanation, a gradual descent into darkness, that would be cool too. I just hope they don't continue the Bayley buddy happy-go-lucky. My icon is an emoji hugging itself. I mean, I'm done with it. I'm done with the side ponytail and the colors and the let me make sure I'm a hero for 7-year-old girls that need a hero. I need Bayley to descend into darkness and have Sasha Banks pull her into it. That's what I'm looking for, and I'm liking what I'm seeing so far. And her explanation basically was, people have been talking about this all week. Did you really expect me to what did you expect me to do, basically? And I'm thinking to myself, yeah, the Boston hug connection was a thing, and then you guys turned on each other, and then loved, and then turned again. And it's hard to erase that mess of a storyline that happened for so long, that the logic is a little bit shaky because of the shaky history they've had. If they had never turned on one another and been a solid unit since the beginning of time, in the main roster anyway, I would have been fine with it. I mean, but her explanation overall, I'm not going to nitpick too much. I'm fine with it. And saying that, I don't know what's wrong with you guys. What did you expect? That's fine. I'm good with it. It was an official heel turn. For those that don't think it was, you better think again. Oh, she's got the same music. She didn't really turn on the fans and start trashing the fans.
here's call, like I said, this is a gradual descent into darkness. Every week you will start to see Bayley descend deeper and deeper into this abyss of beginning to hate fans and Sasha pulling her in. She's like the bad influence as a teenager, right? We all had friends that were that weren't the favorite of our parents, and they would always say, you know, I wouldn't like it if you hang out with this person, and they were the bad influence. And slowly but surely, you start becoming the people you hang out with, and your parents, you know, who your friends were at that time that they didn't like. It's kind of like that. And I think that's where we're going with Bayley. And I think that's a good thing. And eventually she's going to say, you know, what is wrong with you fans? How did you, you know, do you not value friendship like I do? And there's ways to do it and have her slowly change her look and make it gradual. All of a sudden she's wearing kind of, I don't want to say she's going to be goth, but she needs to turn her character darker. I don't need the happy-go-lucky Bayley. So again, overall, I'd give this an A+ in terms of WWE creative, listening to fans. And it, again, I mean, it just made sense. Bayley as SmackDown Women's Champion was flat as a pancake. They had the big shock and awe Money in the Bank that I was shocked by, and it got a little bit of interest and made Bayley, for the night and for the week anyway, a little more interesting from the abyss of losing after WrestleMania. And then she just kind of was an afterthought after that and was the same old Bayley and annoying, cocky, side ponytail, and just you want to slap her in the face. But that's a compliment. Again, this is not me dissing Bayley. This is her, I believe, her potential to be a very good heel. And I've wanted to see this. And I'm so glad that they've done it. So I'm 100% on board. Again, Roman Reigns remains the only performer on the roster that is just invincible to heel turns, along with John Cena. They're on the upper echelon of don't even bring it up. You're not turning him heel for whatever just bizarre reason. But Bayley joins the list of ones that we never thought, many people thought we wouldn't see turn, including Daniel Bryan, who we never thought would see turn. And he's doing an excellent job. And I'm going to get to his performance later on, too, with the whole Roman Reigns just nonsense. I mean, there's no other way to put this, guys. This is nonsense. So that'll be my next topic while my brain is headed that way. But just to put a bow on the Bayley turn, I think it's a good thing. They just need to make this an evolution of Bayley going into darkness. There's just a no better way to put it. And I think that's what's going to happen. And I'm excited for it because it's going to put a shot in the arm to Bayley. And counterintuitive, or on the contrary to that, I don't know why I thought of that word, but on the contrary, Charlotte, who is, I guess, a babyface now. They did a double turn. It started. It didn't get fully implemented, but it certainly was a step in the right direction for Charlotte turning back to a babyface. I'm fine with that, with the double beatdown of Charlotte on SmackDown Live. And we'll see, I think, eventually Becky teaming with Charlotte to take on Sasha and Bayley. And I think that's going to be a hell of a pairing there as the four horsewomen take each other on. And I think eventually all four will come together when the four horsewomen of, you know, the UFC, right, and MMA come together. It's going to be a WrestleMania showdown, we all know. So these four right now can get their licks on each other. They can all feud with each other, and that's fine. But eventually these four will come back together. But right now they are all positioned correctly. Would I like to see a Becky heel turn? A true one? Yes. Did the WWE need it as much as they needed Bayley heel turn? No, they didn't. And everybody right now, I believe, is positioned correctly and cast correctly. As even though I know that I have said Charlotte, I think, is a better heel than a face, that is true. But I think that if Charlotte doesn't just try to be a babyface and just continues her character, I think she's on the right path. She doesn't need to change anything. Just be the heel character. Don't just take the dissing the fans out of it. Don't be so arrogant. Don't smile like you did too much as a babyface the last time. It's like she was constantly it was like just this ongoing photo shoot. I mean, that's the way it felt. Every time she came out, smiling too much. No. Be what you were on SmackDown Live, and you will be just fine because the fans respect you. They know who you are. They've gotten a lot of time to hate you, and it's time for Becky and Charlotte to find common ground. The enemy of my enemy is my friend. That is what it's going to be. So I'm fine with it. Again, that's where we're at with that. And so moving down the line here, though, the other piece of this that I wanted to touch on with Roman Reigns and with Daniel Bryan, this whole storyline that's been going on for, my God, it feels like it's been going on for 6 months. And it's been going on for, probably a month and a half now. And how many times do we need to see the replay of Roman Reigns and those boxes getting shoved down? And oddly, there's a camera angle there, but we'll leave that alone. So Roman Reigns does his own investigation. Somehow everybody misses Eric Rowan in the background with his hoodie up, right? And pushing the boxes over, trying to run him down with his vehicle, all that stuff. And it's teased that Eric Rowan is the one who was there and the one that did it. It was first brought up by Buddy Murphy after Roman went into the locker room like a bully and went and forced Buddy Murphy to come up with a name. And then after that, we had Roman Reigns continue his investigation. Daniel Bryan and Rowan deny it. And then it comes out to be that Daniel Bryan and Rowan said they have somebody who they know is the culprit. It comes out to be a lookalike. And then Rowan says that he did it after Roman Reigns comes up with some footage. And then Roman Reigns spears Daniel Bryan, even though Daniel Bryan wasn't the culprit. Maybe he did it out of an association, I don't know. And then after that, Roman comes on the mic on SmackDown Live and says that nobody tells him what to do. He can't be controlled. And then he attacks Daniel Bryan, puts down Reigns, and stands tall on SmackDown Live. So this feels like a little bit like Rikishi. If you guys remember back in 1999 Survivor Series, when Austin got run down and nobody knew who the culprit was. People thought it was The Rock. Could have been Triple H. It ends up being Rikishi. And he did it for The Rock. I did it for the people. It tried to turn Rikishi into this big monster heel, which was extremely unsuccessful. And it feels a little bit like that. It's such a letdown. It's truly Rowan. So I understand we need to make new stars. That's how this business is built. I'm fine with building new stars. But to have it be Eric Rowan, who I'm fine with giving him an opportunity, but they have so much work to do and repair to do on Eric Rowan's character after, six, 7 years of him being the third wheel in the Wyatt family, the second to Luke Harper in that the Bludgeon Brothers, and then being Daniel Bryan's sidekick. They have a lot of repair to do with Eric Rowan. And all of a sudden, he's this guy that can take out Rowan, take out Bryan, who both main evented WrestleMania, a guy that got beat by The Rock at WrestleMania 4 or 5 years ago in the matter of 4 seconds. I'm not totally trashing this. It's just kind of like, the air's been let out of the balloon. It's Rowan? Okay. So, and you're thinking Rowan's a cover for somebody bigger, like Bryan. And maybe Vince thought, well, everybody thinks it's Bryan. We're not going to go with Bryan. We're going to go with Rowan. Why? Just for what reason? To build a new star? That's a solid reason, but bad execution. And furthermore, here's the biggest issue that I have with this. The biggest issue beyond the nonsensical incongruity and lack of storytelling in this whole plot line is, what the hell is Eric Rowan's motive? Has anybody talked about that? He just did it because he's a mean guy? Because, I need to be relevant. I want to be a big star. Well, how do you miss the motive? Well, it's coming. Well, no, we should have been told the motive on SmackDown this week when it was Eric Rowan's opportunity to speak. in the final segment of the show, the go home. Tell us why. He didn't give it a single shred of why he did it. Not one. Zero. Nothing. The main message was, you can't control me. I'll do what I want when I want. Great. That's great. Give us why? How do we not? Without the why, we are completely disconnected. I know as a heel, you don't always have to give an explanation to fans that want an explanation. In this case, in a whodunit, without a motive, there's a lot of lack of interest here. You need something the fans can connect with, and they don't have that. So, if they don't provide an explanation to this, somebody needs to be fired. And I'm serious in terms of creative. How do you miss the motive? The most important part of any whodunit is why. Why? Can anybody commute? I can't even think of an explanation. There has been very limited interaction with Roman and Rowan. So if anybody can come up with something, that'd be great. Because I have zero. So we don't have a motive. We have Eric Rowan as the culprit. And it's Eric Rowan versus Roman Reigns at Clash of Champions. Okay, cool. And again, here's the other problem. If you're trying to make Eric Rowan a star, I think we all know what the outcome is going to be here. And maybe a bigger turn or a more of an evolution of the story is going to come at Clash of Champions. But honestly, I'm done with this story because after the first couple weeks, I don't think they knew what they were doing. And it was very up and down. It just dragged out. I think that the constant reminder and replaying of the boxes falling on Roman and the car trying to hit Roman, it's made me extremely saturated with this story to the point of like, okay, just tell me who it is and why. So now we have who it is. We don't have why. The who it is not as interesting as we all thought it would hoped it would be. So we have Roman Reigns facing Eric Rowan. And here's the thing. Here's the kicker. If you don't think Roman Reigns is going to go over at Clash of Champions, you haven't been watching wrestling for more than 10 minutes. Roman Reigns will beat Eric Rowan soundly, and Rowan goes into where? Hiding again? On his own? Clearly he's not with Brian anymore after head choke slamming him into the announce table. Apparently you can just pick somebody up by their head. That's a thing. That's how strong you can be, right? So Eric Rowan is now on his own. Presumably, and he's going to be just the next sacrificial lamb to Roman Reigns. He's going to get his retribution, and we're all going to move on with our lives. And this storyline did nothing. Nothing. And I loved Eric Rowan and Daniel Bryan. They should have been tag team champions for 6 months. And they just pulled him out of the story to do what? Have him just, the whodunit, to just go to Rowan? To have Roman Reigns bury him? I'm not following, and I'm sure Roman Reigns will sell for him, and it'll be a lot of near falls, and he'll take him to the limit like everybody does with everybody in every match. Apparently, that's just how WWE lays out every match. Everybody has to take everybody to the limit, which is nonsense, but that's how it'll be, and it'll look like Rowan can beat Roman, and it's ultimately not going to happen. It'll end with a couple of spears, and Roman Reigns gets his retribution. We all move on with our lives. So. That's what I think about Bayley, and that's what I think about the other big story coming out of SmackDown Live. And so I have some other very, very poignant and very strong thoughts also coming up with the Ricochet and Samoa Joe match that went to instant replay. Apparently that was implemented into WWE this past week on Monday Night Raw. So I'm going to get into that. But first, I've got a question for you guys. If you found $100 on the street, would you pick it up or keep walking? Of course, you take the money, right? So why do you keep picking winners and not betting on them? That's why I go to MyBookie. It's fast, it's easy, and they pay you when you win. So let's face it, where you're betting, it's just as important as who you're betting on. I would not lie to you guys to bet with them if they weren't the best. Do the smart thing. If you're going to bet this football season, bet with MyBookie. Do you know you could bet on games after kickoff? If by the second half it looks like your bet's going to lose, you can always just take the other side. Think about that. That's nuts. And if you're the kind of guy that likes to bet a little and win a lot, try a parlay. If all your picks come through, you'll multiply your winnings. And no matter how you bet, the NFL season is the best time of the year. Join now and MyBookie will double your first deposit. All you have to do is use promo code WWE to activate the offer. That's it. Just use promo code WWE and visit mybookie.ag today. Just go to mybookie.ag. You play, you win, and you get paid. All right, so you guys, let's talk about this instant replay deal. I really am fine with WWE trying to make this a simulated sport, because that's what this is. Pro wrestling is a simulated sport. I am totally cool with them simulating a sport because that's what it should be presented as, and I have been saying that that is one of the core fundamentals that has been undermining the presentation of professional wrestling for a very long time now, years and years and years. And I'm fine with it. And if you're going to implement true sports-like feel, you have to take things from real competitive sports and implement them into the professional wrestling world. And one of the things that they took away was time limits. I don't know if they'll bring that back, but how do you not have a time limit, right? So the thing that happened on Monday Night Raw, we all know, Samoa Joe and Ricochet ended up double pinning each other. And the referee counts to three. And then he goes to this, you know, where the timekeeper's area is, and he puts on the headset, and the announcers say, oh, it looks like we're going to go to instant replay, and fine. I'm cool with that, that they're bringing in a real sports feel to this pro wrestling craziness, right? This world of entertainment. Now, here's the problem I have with that. So A+ on them bringing in a sports-like feel. Here comes where here's the F, and I have to give them an F here. Where and when in the history of sports that have ever existed, ever, in terms of the instant replay world, since it's been implemented in professional sports, NFL, MLB, NBA, and NHL, and the list goes on, all the major sports leagues in the world, has there ever been a decision after an instant replay was performed? Did they ever say, well, looks like both advance? When has that ever happened? Ever. Never. Never. You always either call one or the other, or you decide that there's a restart of the play. There is never, well, both teams advance. Really? How can both teams advance? You are blowing up the model of the tournament. You can't just have both advance. And I know that they're trying to have the best matches possible, and they didn't want to have either guy lose clean to the other. But guess what? It's a tournament. You can have one guy lose here and it'd be fine. I mean, look, they've been doing it to Samoa Joe for months and months and months and months. I thought Samoa Joe was going to take the loss here. And he still very well may with this triple threat that's happening to go to the finals with Baron Corbin, Ricochet, and Samoa Joe. Actually, I think Ricochet is going to be the one to probably come out of it because they are just super high on Ricochet for whatever reason. He's just Superman now. But for them to go to the, well, both advance, how? In what rule book? In what world? Oh, it's professional wrestling. You're just bitching to bitch. No. That's the kind of stuff I shook my head. It's nonsense. They couldn't have just said, we'll have to just redo this match. We'll have to just, you know, restart the match. Fine. Have a restart the match with the definitive winner. That makes total sense. And part two to this. And they don't get an F yet because it hasn't happened, but I'm going to give them an advanced F because I can foresee this happening. They have this instant replay that has all of a sudden been introduced into the WWE. And when and how this instant replay gets implemented is going to be very, very selective. Meaning, number one, the referee is apparently the one to implement the instant replay, not the competitors, the referee. So the referee is going to be the one to decide when the actual instant replay is implemented. So when there are instances in which the referee could implement the instant replay rule, you can guarantee to quote Vincent Kennedy McMahon, that will only be implemented when the storyline permits it and is convenient to the story. There will be no consistency with this rule whatsoever. Bank on it. And I'm going to give them an advanced F because they will prove me right on this. There will be times we go, well, they decided to implement instant replay with Ricochet and Samoa Joe. Why don't they implement it now? And they won't, because it's not convenient to the story, which completely takes away consistency and just hurts the believability of the product overall. So just mark my words on that. Mark my words. Instant replay, A+. Implementation, F. F. And an advanced F for the consistency of using it when it's supposed to be to make sure that they got the call right. So just keep that little tidbit in your mind as we move down the line here. A couple more things I wanted to touch on too, and I'm not going to get to every single thing, but Chad Gable, who is the guy that is the overachiever, can wrestle his ass off, is being positioned as this little man that has no confidence and is being belittled for his height, and he looks young. Everybody's doing it. Everyone. Everybody. Samoa Joe, the latest bully this past week on SmackDown Live. Shelton Benjamin did it. I mean, it's embarrassing. Not just for the product as a whole, but for Chad Gable himself as a character. And I know the psychology is, well, they're all going to belittle him and not believe in him and think he's a joke. And they're all going to rally behind him when he gets a victory. Well, yeah, I guess that's... we all did. And it's not because of the story. It's not because of that. We all rallied behind Chad Gable this past week with Andrade in their semifinals match for the King of the Ring tournament because he can wrestle his ass off and he knows how to tell a story in the ring. That's why. I didn't remember what was said backstage about how little he is and he looks like a kid. I remembered and got into the match because he can wrestle his ass off. Period. And he did. And that was awesome. That was the match of the night. And props to Andrade, of course. But this whole just lowbrow, nonsensical high school vision of what the wrestler should be, and the fact that the wrestlers are belittling him backstage because of his height and his size and his look, is nonsense. It's such a Vince McMahon alpha male mentality to do that to a star who is a legitimate athlete, who has had a very successful amateur wrestling career, to have him come in and not stand up for himself. He comes backstage and just takes it from everybody like they're in high school. It hurts his character. It makes the product look ridiculous. And it angers me personally as a fan because of Vince McMahon's... It has Vince McMahon's fingerprints and smell all over it. I really, really don't like when they do that kind of stuff. All of a sudden, apparently Rey Mysterio was just exempt from this because, well, even though Rey Mysterio is smaller than Chad Gable, you have to remember, This is not a big man sport anymore. And I'm sure it eats Vince McMahon's alpha male ego alive that it's not a big man, a jacked up 6'5", 300-pound territory anymore. This is a athletic. It's gotten much more athletic, much more. It's much more about the spots, let's be honest. It's not my cup of tea as far as that goes, but I don't care about the size. Size has never mattered to me. That's what she said. It's more about the athleticism, and that's the focus now, and that's fine. Which means you have and the fact is, you have a whole show dedicated to guys that are smaller. 205 Live, NXT, for God's sakes. And they're picking on Chad Gable because of his size. It's a stupid storyline. I know the psychology they're going for, but it's just so lowbrow of them to do that. And Chad Gable can get over on his own. He is one of the most talented guys on the roster. Do I think he'll make it to the finals? I don't. But there's still the fact that he is super talented. And do I think he'll get a push? Probably to a certain limit. He'll never get to the top. Never. Because of literally the fact that he is not Vince McMahon's ideology of what a WWE superstar should be. End of story. End of story. So that's just one other thing I wanted to mention. But they had a great match. That was the match of the night. I really, really love the ending. They are both so good in the ring. I hope that there's a rematch somewhere down the line with these two. And Andrade, too. Andrade, too, who has been one of the most unsung heroes on SmackDown Live. It needs to be commended, too. He needs to get his, you know, he needs to be given credit, too, for his performances over the last number of months. Not just with Chad Gable, but with guys like Rey Mysterio, too. So, another thing I want to touch on, too, is Rey Mysterio, who is suddenly found his heart again because of his son. I'm fine with it. He's going to continue to fight. And that's fine with me. He, you know, family is his focus right now and makes him likable. Rey Mysterio is a guy that is not seemingly missed a step. So I'm cool with that, too. Also, another thing I want to praise on SmackDown Live, try to balance out the critiques with the stuff I loved, Aleister Black. Aleister Black's a guy that has the future WWE champion or Universal champion written all over him. Now, I understand that this is a guy that we have not seen a lot of on the main roster, of course. Spent a lot of time in NXT. I'm talking about the call-up, the main roster. What have you done on the main roster? Now, a lot of guys have issues when they translate to the main roster. They can't use their same gimmicks. Sometimes the guys, the audience doesn't know who they are. They aren't NXT fans or don't watch it. Aleister Black has done a very good job of feeling like he belongs instantly on SmackDown Live. His backstage promos are intriguing. You can make fun of the way he speaks. And he's going to pick a fight. And all that stuff. But it's interesting. He doesn't have a speech impediment. That's the way he speaks because it's different. It makes you pay attention. It's very believable. I love his setup backstage. Very simple. Black background. No music. No special effects. Just him sitting there wanting to beat the hell out of somebody. Asking to be pick a fight with somebody. He's very good in the ring. Does he have Vince McMahon's perfect body? No. He's, as Triple H once described CM Punk, he's the skinny fat guy. He's kind of like that. He's kind of the skinny fat guy. He's got a little bit of a CM Punk body going on. And by the way, I loved his interview on StarCast 3. If you guys haven't watched that, it's all over YouTube, by the way. The interview with CM Punk, great stuff. But he's got a little bit of CM Punk body to him, not just because of the tattoos, but the body type. I don't care. He's very quick in the ring. I love his Black Mass finish. Very good. Love it. Him and Shelton Benjamin, I think, were put on a good match. I don't think they got enough time as they should have. But Aleister Black is very believable. He's got a very bright future. I'm all for it. I'd like to see him just... I'd like to see Aleister Black just kind of hide in the background. Build his character. Do the backstage stuff. And continue to just be that strong presence that continues to win and win and win and win. And when the time is right, put him in the main event. I'm not saying give him the belt right away. I'm all for slow burns. But Aleister Black right now is somebody that I look forward to seeing every week on SmackDown Live. Very just intriguing, great character. You just want to learn more about him, and that is a very good thing anytime that you have a new character, quote new, again, new to the main roster, introduced to the casual fan. So, very good. I think he's positioned as a heel correctly. It's just very good. It's unique. It keeps you intrigued. So, that's something else I wanted to touch on. As far as Randy Orton goes with Kofi Kingston, Randy Orton getting the best of Kofi now for weeks and weeks and weeks, and has seemingly decimated the New Day. I am loving it. I love it because I think that Kofi Kingston, again, I'm not going to get into the weeds with this. You guys can listen to my previous shows, but Kofi Kingston does not feel like a WWE champion to me. He is clearly being pushed to the side for the Roman Reigns storyline. You don't believe me? Look at the last month and a half of SmackDown Live and Raw. It has been pushed to the side for this whodunit of Roman Reigns that ended up being super flat. And so if you don't believe me, just look at the positioning of where the WWE championship is on SmackDown Live, and your questions will be answered. And so just Kofi Kingston does not feel like a WWE champion. So Randy Orton coming out and being the most relevant he's been and forming this stable, I don't know what the name of it's going to be, but there's going to come up with something, I'm sure. having Randy Orton team with the Revival and Dash and Dawson, great. Love it. Love it. Love it. And it's giving them something to do. It's making Randy Orton more relevant than he's been in years, or at least in terms of storyline. I don't think it's making him, you know, a star. He doesn't need to have the belt. At the same time, I would love somebody to just dethrone Kofi and put him back to where he belongs. He belongs in the mid to upper card. This run with the WWE Championship, personally, has not been successful. Is it a complete disaster? No. Is it Jinder Mahal disaster? No. It's just kind of like, meh. Okay, he's WWE Champion. Can we put the belt on somebody that actually feels like they're a champion, please? It's just, and some of it's creative, some of it's Kofi himself, some of it's been 11 plus years of us being conditioned to believe that Kofi Kingston belongs in the mid to upper card. And he does. He does. His charisma, to me, is not connecting. I don't feel and resonate and relate with the character. It's just this goofy, pancake-throwing, great athlete, sometimes funny, but never serious enough to hold the WWE Championship character. Period. So I would really love Randy Orton to be the WWE champion, take the belt off of him, and have Dash and Dawson be his henchmen for holding that belt and continuing to cheat to win to hold it. I'm fine with it. And him RKOing the hell out of Kofi Kingston the last few weeks, I love it. Unfortunately, I think that points to Kofi retaining the belt to Clash of Champions because of how much and how many times that Randy has bested Kofi over the last few weeks. So that's unfortunate. And I know many of you love Kofi Kingston in terms of being WWE champion. I just absolutely, unequivocally, I almost said that right, do not. So just hit me with your opinions on that. I'm sure I'll get some strong ones. So, well, guys, I know that this is a little bit shorter than usual, but I do have things that I need to get to here, and I'll be packing up to leave and heading home tomorrow night. So the normal schedule of the show returns Sunday with your wrestling nostalgia, and then Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, everything's back to normal, and you'll be getting the best of this show in terms of also getting NXT. You're going to get an NXT review podcast, and then AEW starting in about a month or so, and NFL is back starting tonight. So we are in full swing with NFL, with the WWE, NXT, AEW in a month. And also, guys, don't forget to check out MyBookie and throw in the WWE promo code because it gives you double your deposit. Yeah, so if you put in 100, you get 200. 50, you get 100, right? You guys know the math, but definitely check that out. Go to WWEpodcast.com. Go to anywhere that podcasts are presented, and I should be there. Go also to the website and support the show by clicking on the Support the Show tab and then going to the Amazon banner, which is right there. And any shopping you do, just click that link first, and it throws back a little to the show for some operating expenses. So check that out as well. And guys, I really want to thank you for listening. And if you want an ad-free experience, by the way, you just head on over to patreon.com/WWE podcast, and you can get this show and all of my other shows, AEW included, NXT included, completely ad-free for just starting at $1 a month. It's a super good deal. And I would appreciate and do appreciate all of the patrons on there as well. You guys are awesome. You guys are all the best. I appreciate and love the conversations I have with you guys. So, all right. Well, guys, thank you for listening. I'll be back Sunday with your wrestling nostalgia, and everything returns to normal as we have the season premiere of the WWE podcast starting next week. So, guys, thanks so much for listening. I'll talk to you next time.